Tax season has arrived, and doing taxes without the right help can feel overwhelming. Intuit TurboTax is here now to guide you through it with confidence. Match with a TurboTax full-service expert who handles everything for you from start to finish. Your dedicated expert checks every single deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And the best part? You'll see real-time updates on your expert's progress right on your phone while you live your life. Plus, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. Real-time updates only on iOS mobile app.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's tax season, and by now, I know we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. Here's another one. One in four honest, hardworking, taxpaying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, backed by another good number, the Million Dollar Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your money back. Don't face identity theft and financial losses alone. There's strength in numbers with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection for tax season and beyond. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was the woman in white a benevolent force, or was she something more sinister?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. And if you have a real ghost story, share it. We love them. If you want to leave us a voicemail, call 855-853-4802. If you want to write it in, go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to be a premium subscriber, you get advance episodes, you get access to the archive, you get all that without commercials, and you can sign up through Apple Podcasts, try it for 3 days free. Go to patreon.com/realghoststories if you want to do that, or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon is here with me today.
I am here with you today.
You know, I think it's interesting that you could be confused by spirits. You know, they tend to like mess with you. It's like, is that a kind spirit or is it something evil? Is that a cute little child ghost or is it a demon? You know what I'm saying? You don't always know.
Usually, though, I have a good sense, like in my gut, if something is off, you know, if it's not there for, you know, good purposes. I usually have a good instinct on that, don't you? Or do you?
I think I do, but have I ever truly been tested? I don't know. Because it's like, what if, you know, you're thinking you have a little child spirit in your house and you're feeling all, I just want to help it go to the light. And so you're feeling very maternal, because I get like that. And all the ghost stories about kids, I'm always like, oh, I hate this. But what if it's presenting as a child spirit and then it gets you, it tricks you into feeling like that for it, and then boom, it comes out to be a demon.
I mean, that is definitely a possibility, because we've had spirits that take on different forms or mimic a person, you know, that sort of thing. So they can do a lot of manipulation and, you know, really manipulating our feelings. But I usually have a gut instinct when it comes to something being, you know, dark.
I think so. If you kind of listen to that, though, and I think that, you know, a lot of us, I was talking to a psychic medium the other day about how I think a lot of people have some abilities. We call it intuition, but we don't often listen to it.
Oh, I definitely agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? Because what is intuition? Like, if you really dove into intuition, it would be kind of an ability.
Well, and we're trained to override our intuition.
Yes.
Through logic, right? Mm-hmm. We look at something and think, well, that's just not logical. That's just not rational. So therefore, I have to dismiss what I'm feeling about it and come up with a more rational reason that this would happen. And so, you know, I can just reason my way out of anything and look at all these things. But maybe the first thing was right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I kind of believe in paying attention to that gut feeling. So if you mm-hmm. have that feeling like this isn't right, I'm feeling scared or however you're interpreting this weird feeling. So mm-hmm. I think you would, you know, because like we've talked about it before when we were kids in that house we grew up in, how sometimes it just felt much darker in there than other times.
Right.
And so you just get that feeling. I think go with your gut. Go with your first instinct.
And I think it's because we had a couple different things happening in that house. And I think that's a possibility too, that there's not just always one thing. There could be multiple mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. that are happening in a house. But, you know, one thing that I noticed listening to our stories is you can almost always tell what the gut instinct of the person submitting the story was at the time.
A lot of times, yes, yes.
You know, that they say, gosh, I don't know, what are your thoughts? But as you've listened to the story, you know what their gut is telling them. You know, they just are wondering if we think the same or mm-hmm. if we think they're overreacting. But that makes sense. You know, you want to get other information or get some other
and validation
views about
it. I think sometimes we just need validation because it's like,
true,
this is paranormal number one, everybody's going to think I'm crazy, therefore right. I would like someone to tell me I'm not,
or tell me I'm in. I mean, you know, that they could look at something sometimes from the outside looking in, it's easier for us to say, oh, I don't know, maybe that would, you know, we could write something off more. But they were there, you know, they experienced it. We didn't, you know, we're just going with what mm-hmm. they say and not what they really saw or felt at the time. So,
and
you
we
know,
do believe,
I don't know,
you know, I'm always like, I believe the stories. There's, we get some in sometimes that I'm like, I'm not reading that one because it just seems like a movie plot. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, was this a letter written in like a creative writing class, or is this a real experience? But this story is pretty interesting. So it says, I first heard this story from my dad a few years ago, long after it had happened. At the time, I'd been having strange nightmares that I couldn't piece together, and I guess he decided it was finally time to tell me everything. It's about a woman in white who appeared when I was just a baby. And the more I learned, the more I realized my later experiences might tie back to that night. According to my dad, it was an ordinary evening at home. My mom and dad put me in my crib, which was right near their bed, so they could keep an eye on me. My dad had this nagging feeling all day like something was off, but he couldn't explain why. He went to bed anyway, uneasy but exhausted, and drifted off around his usual time. Then about 1 a.m, he woke up in a panic. He didn't recall a nightmare, but something jolted him out of sleep, and he was sweating, his heart was pounding, and he had this sudden need to check on me. So when he looked over to my crib, there was a figure in white leaning over me. He said she seemed tall, and though the room was dark, there was a faint glow around her. My dad realized that I was cooing and giggling, not crying. It took him a moment to understand what he was seeing. I couldn't imagine. Could you? Like waking up just like from a dead sleep and you see that?
Yeah, not around my baby.
Mm-hmm. He tried to blink it away, thinking he was dreaming, but the figure stayed right there. Fear shot through him. He jumped out of bed, calling my name as he rushed over, and in that instant, she vanished, as if she'd never been there at all. That's when my dad noticed I was pale, not making a sound, and cold to the touch. I wasn't breathing. He saw a bottle full of milk jammed in my mouth and realized I was choking. He yelled for my mom and started infant CPR, desperate to save me, and after a few terrifying seconds, I sputtered and began to cry. My dad said it was the most relieving sound he'd ever heard. You'd think that would end the panic, but both my parents were left trembling, trying to figure out what had happened. They wondered how I ended up choking on my bottle. Hadn't they put it away? And who was this woman in white? My dad had no answers. All he knew was that he was woken up, saw something ghostly over my crib, and acted just in time. For a while, my dad kept quiet about it. He felt people would think he was imagining things, and my mom was already shaken enough. But the memory lingered. He spent several nights afterward lying awake, half expecting something else to appear. Part of him considered it might have been a dream, except everything felt too real, and the bottle's presence was hard to explain away. Years later, my parents never mentioned this event to me, and I grew up unaware of it. But I started having a recurring nightmare about a woman in white. In the dreams, she'd either reach out to me or just stand there silently. I never saw her face, but I always woke up feeling uneasy. I chalked it up to my imagination until, as a teenager, I brought up the lady in white in passing. My parents exchanged nervous looks and finally told me the whole story. Could you imagine?
No.
They went through that, and then you just kind of one day, I keep having this dream about a lady in white. Naturally, I wondered if she was trying to harm me or help me. My dad believes she might have been malevolent. After all, he was petrified. But my mom suspects the spirit saved me, or at least alerted my dad to wake up. My dad wouldn't have known I was choking if he hadn't been startled awake. And so there's always been this mystery. Did she cause it, or did she prevent the worst from happening? Nobody can really say for sure. Once I knew this backstory, I got pretty fixated on ghost stories, especially ones about women in white. Apparently, they appear in a lot of cultures, sometimes as protective spirits, sometimes as omens. I don't know which one she was, but I've had other unexplained experiences since. Maybe I'm more open to the paranormal because of this early encounter. Even now, when I think about how close I came to not surviving that night, I feel grateful my dad woke up at the right minute. Whether it was sheer coincidence or supernatural intervention, I lived. My dad still goes a bit pale when I bring it up, and my mom usually just shakes her head like she's not sure what to believe. I can't blame her. Who wants to relive the horror of their baby almost choking to death, especially with a ghost hovering nearby? Sometimes I wonder if the woman in white will ever show up again. I can't decide if I'd be relieved or terrified if I saw her standing in my room. Part of me likes to think she's some kind of guardian, but I'm not entirely sure if I want a chance to find out the truth. I get that. I'll never know what happened that night. The facts are simple, but I do believe something unexplainable took place in the bedroom. Whatever the case, that's the story of my first brush with the paranormal. It set the stage for other odd things I'd experience later, which I'll save for another time. For now, I'm just thankful my dad woke up and I made it through. If the woman in white was behind it, then I guess I owe her for being here to tell this story. Whether she wanted to take me away or keep me safe, I'm not sure. Patricia. That's like a real question, because it could go either way.
Well, I was just sure I would be able to know immediately how I felt about it. I felt like something was wrong. And because, okay, number one, how did she get the bottle? That, you don't just, it sounds to me like she was a baby.
Yeah, she said
infant. Not a toddler that maybe could have crawled out of the crib and picked up a bottle off the coffee table or something, you know, and crawled
back
in.
Well, the parents, it sounds like the parents knew they didn't leave a bottle
in
there.
They were like, you know, you don't leave a bottle with the baby, you know. For that reason.
That's what makes me think it's malevolent.
And the other thing that I thought might have been a little clue in here was she said she started having a recurring nightmare.
She does say nightmare, yeah.
She doesn't say a dream that this woman shows up in. She says
good catch, Kathy.
You know, and to me, I think that might be a bit of a slip on her part, unconscious. But that when this, she does have a dream about this woman, it's negative. It's bad. I think it was some sort of creature or something. I think she was taking the life out of her.
But then the dad waking up right when he did, and that, like that parental intuition that you get. And that happened when he was sound asleep.
Right.
Like, I think that especially as a parent, you mm-hmm. have this super in tune sense with your child, you know, like you get that mom feeling that something's mm-hmm. wrong or you're checking on him. And to wake up in the middle of the night and be like, my baby, and then see that, because the baby must have been really little because she was in the room with them.
In the room with them, and I just had that sense that she was brand new. They said that he was doing the infant type of CPR thing, you know.
Do you think that whole experience somehow impressed on her memory that she doesn't even remember, obviously, because she was so tiny, mm-hmm. but it stayed with her? Or is this some kind of weird spirit that seems to follow her and come to her in her dreams? Because it is weird she'd be having dreams about it.
She's still having dreams yeah. about it. But is it because the spirit is still there with her? Or is it because it was such a you know, really intense experience that it's kind of post-traumatic trauma? You know, how a baby would know that that woman was there to be able to see her again and again and again, you know, is interesting to me, and just kind of goes to show how traumatic this experience was. Mm-hmm. That it kind of, if she's not coming again and again, she actually, it was such a big deal, it just embedded itself in her head. And she's not gotten over it. You know, it's kind of like two things. Is this woman in white coming back, or is this just high trauma? Because, you know, like you told me the other day that you had a dream about the haunted house that yes. we used to live in.
And right? I hadn't had one in a really long
That's
time.
That's trauma. It comes back into your, right, into your dreams and stuff. You haven't let it go. It's still kind of hanging around.
But it could have been the melatonin.
Good. Well, true, but it's picking up on something that still bothers you.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, I'm wondering if even as a child, she saw it, you know?
Right. It's imprinted there somewhere.
It's kind of, what do you think? Is it trauma and she's having trauma-related dreams? Or is it... this woman is still hanging around.
I kind of think she's still hanging around. And it says, there's a line in here that said, I can't decide if I'd be relieved or terrified if I saw her standing in my room. Default to terrified because yeah. we don't trust her.
So, I don't trust her.
Yeah, I don't trust her because we don't know. So if you were to ever see her standing in the room, don't like let your guard down.
And the dad did not trust her.
Mm-mm.
His initial reaction was to jump up and come over and grab you.
I think the whole scenario would be different if it wasn't for the baby bottle being where the bottle shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the part that's scary. She's choking on the bottle, but they didn't leave the bottle in there with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going, not good.
Yeah, I don't feel good about it.
I don't either. Well, let's go to a caller.
This is Mary in Oxnard, California. Anyways, this is my story. I had a boyfriend for about 2 years when I was younger. I was about 14. And we, you know, hung out together and grew up together for a couple of years. And we broke up, you know, and went our separate ways. And he moved back up north to Northern California. A couple of years ago, I got woken in the middle of the night by him next to my bed, leaning over me, telling me, I'll be okay. And I'm thinking, what in the heck? I've been married for over 25 years. I have 2 kids. I live in a house. Why should this guy, his name was Shannon, why should he suddenly show up in my life? And throughout the day, I kind of kept thinking about it. And I was out for my afternoon walk, and I kept on, you know, thinking that there was somebody watching me. And when I got back into the office, I Googled his name. I found out that Shannon had died just a couple of years earlier to the day. And I don't know why he came to me to tell me that he was okay. I kind of had a feeling, you know, for a few months prior to that, I had gone down to MySpace and looked him up, you know, and but then to find out that he was actually gone, and then I even called the funeral home, and I wanted to maybe get some details, and they said to contact his family. Well, I hadn't spoken to his mom, and I didn't really care for his stepdad, and I didn't know how to get a hold of Betty, so anyways, that's my story, and I miss him. I'm sorry that, you know, he passed away, and I thank God that, you know, he even came to visit me to say hello. That's my story, and looking forward to hopefully hearing it on your show and hearing your thoughts. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
I think that's a really interesting story because, you know, a lot of times the person just had passed when you have an experience like that. But he'd been gone a couple years, but it was the anniversary date of his death. Why would he come to her a couple years later?
I know. I thought that was really interesting.
It makes me think he has some kind of unfinished business, or at least he thought there was unfinished business between them.
Yeah.
Maybe it's his way of coming and saying, I'm sorry.
The other thing we've had that we've discussed this before on the show is, you know, just because we, you know, measure time in hours and minutes and then, you know, months and days and weeks or whatever, years, doesn't mean that's how it works over there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what's happened to him as he stepped across. Maybe it's just taking him that long to come back to be able to make that connection, because I would think it's kind of twofold, right? You have to be able to get back, and the person that you want to communicate with has to be receptive to it.
And it sounded like she just woke up and he's like there.
But maybe she was at the perfect place that he was able to make that connection finally.
And I think the date is significant. I think that would be a very, you know, 365 days in the year, and that one day as a one in 365
chance.
It's like
on an anniversary of it. But I don't know. I kind of think that it, you know, maybe everything has to align, you know, perfectly.
Yeah. Because it was like,
she's able to do that.
She'd been married for 25 years. Like, this had happened a long, long time ago.
But he was still really special in her heart.
Yeah, you could tell by the way she talked about
it. You could
tell.
And, you know, we all have those people that something happened with and we didn't end up with them and we let them go. But we always liked them. We always felt something, a special connection. It wasn't meant to be the forever thing or whatever. But, you know, it's that person that you, every time you see him again, you both start smiling and, you know, you're good. You're good together, right? And happy to see each other and special, right? And she understood him at that time in his life when he was 14 or 15 or however old that was. And, you know, they both grew up, moved on, had lives and so forth. But that, you know, those are special times in our lives, that 15-year-old time. That's a very important time to us. And, you know, I just feel like that was a connection that he somehow needed to make to let her know that, because, you know, maybe she was going to find out here pretty soon. And it was a way that he could kind of break it to her and, you know, a little more gently.
I do think she should never focus on the why it happened. It just happened. And that was a very beautiful thing that he was able to come through to her.
It really was.
You don't know how, you don't know why, but it was important enough to him that he wanted to make that connection, that one last connection.
Now, she said this was not a dream, right?
Like she woke up
and he was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a great story.
It was really good.
That's really cool.
Thanks for sharing that.
This one is from Victoria, and she says, I've been obsessed with all things spooky for as long as I can remember, but despite binging scary movies and reading about haunted locations, I never actually had a real first-hand paranormal encounter until about a year ago. It all started when my boyfriend's mom moved into this old two-story house right smack in the middle of a bunch of newer apartment complexes. You can tell by looking at it that it's probably been around since the 1920s. has these quirky old-fashioned details that make it both fascinating and totally creepy at the same time. Mm-hmm. I get that. If you head up the main stairs, there's a weird little cupboard set into the wall. When you open it, you can actually see the original wooden interior of the house. It feels like a secret passage to me, even though it's just a small space. Then there's one bedroom that has a child's crawl space. The entrance is pretty narrow, but if you wiggle your torso through it, it apparently opens into a small room with pink floral wallpaper. You know, that's really strange. I've heard of houses like that, that there's like this little door and you go through it and it was like a kid's room or a nursery or something. Playroom, but it's for kids. It reminded me way too much of the creepy crawl space scene from Paranormal Activity 3, so I only ventured in a little. I'm 5'4", on the smaller side, but even then, I got major goosebumps just sticking half my body in there. The second it crossed my mind that I could squeeze in further, I noped out of there. No thanks.
Yeah, I agree.
But the biggest oddity, at least for me, is my boyfriend's bedroom. On the left side of his bed, there's a door that looks like a standard closet. The thing is, it's not a closet at all. Oh, it leads to this super narrow staircase that goes up to the attic. The attic itself apparently isn't usable anymore because the floorboards are dangerously weak and it's stuffed with insulation. My boyfriend's family just keeps that door latched shut at all times since it's basically worthless. And you know, attics can be spooky under the best circumstances. So one night, I decided to stay over. His mom was already asleep in her room, and my boyfriend and I eventually crashed in his room. I was on the side of the bed closest to that attic door, of course. Now, I've never been a particularly light sleeper, but at some point in the middle of the night, I woke up feeling like I had to use the bathroom. I got up, shuffled half asleep down the hallway, took care of business, headed back to bed. On my way back, I glanced at the door leading to the attic and noticed it was cracked open. It was only a few inches, but I was absolutely sure it had been closed earlier. I did a double take, thinking maybe my sleepy brain was playing tricks on me, but I just shrugged it off. Who knows, maybe I bumped it on my way out or something. I was too tired to give it much thought, so I slid back under the covers and fell asleep. The next morning, my boyfriend and I both woke up, and sure enough, the attic door was still slightly open. We were staring at it like it had sprouted eyes. He swore he'd locked it before we went to bed. I mean, the latch on the door is really secure. It's not the kind that just pops loose at a gust of wind. We stood there scratching our heads, trying to figure out how in the world it had opened all by itself. We spent the rest of the day joking about how we had a ghost in the attic, but the jokes got a little less funny when we started noticing small things like odd noises coming from behind the walls. My boyfriend's mom mentioned the family dog acting strange around certain areas, especially the pantry under the stairs. The dog, who normally is super friendly, would straight up refuse to step inside that pantry no matter how much coaxing or how many treats were offered. Between the dog's sudden refusal to go in that pantry and the attic door randomly swinging open, the house was starting to feel alive in a way that gave me a serious case of the creeps. I'm still not 100% sure what to make of it. Part of me wants to believe there's a perfectly normal explanation, like maybe the wood is warped, or there's some weird airflow from the house's old structure causing it to move. But then I remember that big old latch and wondered how a gentle breeze could unlatch and open a door that heavy. It's been about a year since I had that first encounter. I still get chills recalling how the door was just open in the dead of night. I'm grateful that's all that happened, but if living in that old 1920s house has taught me anything, it's that sometimes a little mystery creeps up on you when you least expect it. So that's my story. Nothing too dramatic, no spinning heads or flying objects, but enough to convince me there might be more to the supernatural than just campfire tales. Thanks for letting me share my story. You know, I get that whole latch thing. And if it's a door that you never use, because it goes up to an attic, nobody ever goes up, it would always be latched.
Well,
and that would be weird to, it's not latched one night. And you can't unlatch it by bumping it.
Do you know what the odds would be of me taking that for my bedroom that had a door to the attic?
Oh, no. No way.
Are you freaking
I'd be like covering
me?
It up with,
I'd have
I
to
slide
a dresser in front of it, you know. Like, I would have to do all these things, and then I'd be scared. I'd wake up and the dresser would be moved over.
Right.
You know, it's very strange. Now, of course, you know, the question is, has the boyfriend had this happen again? He lives there. He sleeps mm-hmm. there night after night. Did it just happen because she was there? Is that the thing that's different in this equation?
Yeah, maybe if it's just that one thing that happened, the house isn't super haunted, but they do get creepy vibes from it.
Definitely. But, I mean, there's other things happening, but I'm just saying, as far as that attic and that door, something opened the door, right? You know darn well he knew it was latched mm-hmm. when they went to bed. And so, you know, who wouldn't make sure an attic door was latched? I don't know. Everybody would,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you know darn well, and for some reason or other, it's unlatched, it's open. If it's not happened again, it almost makes me question if it's not her that this thing was looking at.
Oh, that could be. Which you know, I would not, that would not make me feel very comfortable going into his house.
Yeah, I hate to say it, Victoria, but you might have been the cause of this.
But yeah, I don't like that whole door into the attic thing.
And when the animals yeah. are, you know, staying away from areas and stuff, there's something up there. There definitely is. But I just wonder, like, you know, if we talk to the boyfriend, if he would say, well, it's, you know, yeah, it happens occasionally. Like, you know, maybe once a month, the door is open for some bizarre reason. But we might talk to him and he says, it was just that one time. Yeah. And so my thought there is what is the variable, and it would be Victoria.
So maybe it's time for Victoria to be like, dude, get your own place.
Time for your own place.
Like,
dude.
You got to move out. Still living with mom.
Is. Yeah.
Let's go. Because if he's old enough to have a girlfriend spend the night over, he's old enough for his own place.
Yeah. Most definitely.
So if you have a real ghost story, share it with us, 855-853-4802, or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you want advanced episodes, access to the archive, all without commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money and refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.